So, module 8, final area, wrap up. The quick thing I want to cover, and it doesn't really take much time because we've already kind of covered it in extensive detail earlier on, is this solid foundation. Hopefully what you've gathered from this morning is that what we're delivering within Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V, and perhaps Hyper-V Server, just to kind of reinforce what we talked about, this is a platform that's fantastic for virtualizing your key workloads. Whether it's Hyper-V Server, which we've got on the screen, with its small footprint, its core hypervisor components, and lots of features that we talked about this morning, or whether it's Hyper-V that ships as part of Windows Server 2012, it doesn't matter. Hyper-V, with all of its key features across scale, massive hosts, huge virtual machines, big clusters, and advanced integration with things like Fibre Channel, advanced format drives, quality of service, and ODX. When we think about security and multi-tenancy, the extensible switch, extensible plug-in with your own creations, plug-in with partner solutions from the likes of Five9, Cisco, NEC, Inmon, lots of extensible and granular features around protection and protection against rogue DHCP servers, routers, monitoring, mirroring, advanced performance features from a networking perspective, virtual machine, dynamic virtual machine queue, SRIOV with live migration. We covered it all this morning, extremely powerful. And then flexibility gave us so much. Moving a VM around, great, and Simon did a great explanation of how that works. Moving the storage around, moving the VM and its storage simultaneously with shared nothing live migration. Microsoft were first in the industry to deliver that. And then we talked and explained network virtualization, which is a bit mind-blowing to begin with, and I urge you to go and watch some of the videos, MVA courses, and Edge content, along with Channel 9, of what you can see around explaining network virtualization in a bit more detail at a bit of a slower pace. And finally, Hyper-V delivers key capabilities to protect workloads, replicate off-site, regardless of servers, storage, network vendors, big clusters, secure clusters with BitLocker, integrated levels of availability, so monitoring those individual services within the virtual machine, and specifying things like priority. So when VMs fail over, they go in a certain order. When you need to keep VMs apart, we've got it. That is a solid foundation, and it gives organizations so much, and it's such a low cost. It's just incorporated within Windows Server, or it's free with Hyper-V Server. Solid foundation to build on top. But then we move on to hybrid. And what Microsoft's goal is ultimately to help you deploy the infrastructure that's right for your environment. And Microsoft has solutions in both the public cloud space and the private cloud space. And you'll see how these are starting to mirror up. Office 365 offering things like Link, Exchange, and SharePoint in the public cloud. CRM Online, CRM on-premise, SQL on-premise, SQL in Azure. There's so much synergy between our public cloud offerings and our private cloud offerings that can, and all of the learnings we go through within our public cloud services get bedded back into our core on-premise technology. You know, think about the stuff we've been doing in Windows Azure and managing at massive scale. All of those learnings are now bedded into Windows Server and System Center for your benefit to run these things on-premise. But the key thing is there's a lot of commonality between solutions on both sides. Common identity with Active Directory, common virtualization platform with Hyper-V and the virtual disks, and being able to move workloads to and from the cloud flexibly. Not live, but flexibly. Management with System Center, and we've seen that throughout. Monitoring things in Azure, monitoring things on-prem, monitoring across the environment, management in terms of things like app control and visibility, and we'll see more. And then a common dev platform, deploying applications on-prem, on Windows Server, same application deploying up into Windows Azure. Just complete flexibility.
And I mean, to elaborate more on that deployment, we have the same set of developer tools as well. You use Visual Studios to go and build on-premise for the cloud. Use Team Foundation Server for your project management integration across the stack. But I think one of the things that, you know, I really want to highlight is people ask, why should we trust Microsoft? Why should we trust your cloud solution? Well, you know, you kind of mentioned that, hey, we've been doing this for a while. We've been doing this for 19 years, since the first Windows Mail, MSN Mail, Hotmail, back in 1994. Now, a lot of people say, wait, online email is a cloud service? Sure it is. Think about it. You access it anywhere, data stored anywhere, always available, no matter where you access it from. So yes, we've been doing this for 20 years. And in fairness, yeah, we've had security vulnerabilities. We've had challenges. But what we've done with almost two decades of experience is figure out these problems, optimize the business, and provide these cloud solutions both on-premise with Windows Server and in our public cloud with Windows Azure.
Exactly. And we really do enable you to build and utilize the cloud services and characteristics and features that are right for you. So it's ultimately on your terms. We're not saying, look, you have to do it this way or it won't work. You can really connect and integrate public cloud services and applications, private cloud on-premise infrastructure, and build the cloud that's exactly what you want it to be. And if we look at what the Microsoft solution is offering, we've talked about private cloud all afternoon, and that private cloud, the components that are underneath that cloud could be Hyper-V, VMware, Citrix, on a mixture of different hardware platforms, with a mixture of guest operating systems from Windows to Linux, with a mixture of application frameworks. It's all encompassing, but it's all managed by System Center. And if you're connecting with third parties or other data centers, System Center is enabling you to manage and monitor and integrate across both of those. But then when we think about public cloud like Azure, monitoring services in Azure and applications, accessing services in Azure and applications through tools like App Controller, and now in SP1, service providers. So System Center is really helping become the center of your on-premise and your private cloud infrastructure and what you choose to do in the future with partners and with perhaps Microsoft public cloud services as well. But to talk a bit more about that services, and obviously we have that common identity management, virtualization and development going through all of this stuff. It's very, very important. But it's important we just round up with talking about App Controller. So Virtual Machine Manager, yep, Administrator for App Controller and VMM plugs in. There's a two-way trust between App Controller and VMM. Remember we had that self-service portal before where I was consuming clouds on-premise, I was connecting to public cloud services as well. But it's very simple to connect App Controller to VMM, to a hosting provider using our new service provider foundation, and to Windows Azure. All I need is my certificates and my endpoint URLs for both. But I think it's probably worth handing over to Simon to talk a bit more about SPF and perhaps give us a quick demo.
Sure, I could do a quick demo here. How convenient, I already have it set up.
Oh, so much scripted.
So SPF, Service Provider Foundation. What this essentially does is it gives us the ability to manage our VMs, services, in someone else's infrastructure. So if you're hosting in a third party, with a partner company, or maybe even your disaster recovery site for our disaster recovery as a service, in some ways we need to be able to have some interaction and monitor our services in those data centers. Maybe they don't use Virtual Machine Manager, shame on them. Maybe they have some other types of virtualization platform. That's fine. Essentially, we just want to be able to manage from a single pane of glass. So what we can do with Service Provider Foundation is we could go and connect to these data centers and using standard protocols, OData, and REST, we can actually get data about the status of our virtual machines and then send commands back, such as deploy a virtual machine, bring it online, manage it. So let's actually jump into the demo, and I'm going to give you a really quick overview of App Controller, and then I'm going to actually go and deploy a Windows Server 2012 VM over in our hosting provider. Now, with System Center App Controller, the key thing here is this is our new self-service portal. So in our previous release, we had the VMM self-service portal, which was an out-of-band release. But we've gotten rid of that. And now for our infrastructure requests, we manage everything using App Controller, which is just a website that you can connect to. Now, there is actually another self-service portal provided in System Center, and that's for all other types of service requests. And that's the Service Manager Catalog. But again, we're going to focus here just on the infrastructure.
We got a good overview of that before as well, didn't we, where we could have requested private cloud resources.
Request resources, exactly.
Printers broken or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
Any more cups?
Now, what we're looking at here, again, single pane of glass. We get an overview of all the different clouds, all of the services. Now, if I click on the clouds, I can see that I have three private clouds in my own data center. I have three Windows Azure subscriptions up on Windows Azure. And then I have this third-party hoster from Fabricant, and this is my partner data center. Now, this data center is actually relatively close, run by a vendor. It's only about 20 miles away, so we get pretty good connection from them. But nevertheless, we wanted to simulate, you know, this real environment, how we manage it, no matter where it's located around the world. Now, with this dashboard view, I actually get to view additional information. So this is just seeing all of my virtual machines. And you could already see I have a couple that are deployed over in Fabricam. Finally, I'm going to click on my services. And we saw this service view earlier where we opened a diagram. And we can see we have a lot of Windows Azure subscriptions.
I've got my expense manager.
Expense manager. Oh, we're going to have to get dinner now up soon. Huh?
Yeah.
And then we have our... So actually, let's just jump in and take a quick look at the diagram here. So we have expense manager, multiple tiers. Everything's looking healthy. Great. But what I'm going to show you now is how we can actually go and deploy this service in this third-party hoster. So I'm going to go ahead, click deploy. And deploying this is pretty simple. You get asked a few questions. First, which cloud are you deploying it to? Second, which template are you going to use? Third, what unique information is needed to manage this system? So let's do step one. Let's go deploy this and our third-party hoster. Now, this host has been really kind. He's given us an unlimited amount of CPU, virtual machines, memory. So he really trusts us that we're not doing anything dangerous. Next, I'm going to select my template. And of course, I want my default Windows Server 2012 template. Make sure I deploy the latest and greatest. Next, I get to configure this template. So this is where I provide my unique information. So I'm going to call this hosted log 3. It defaults that as the computer name. Click OK. And then I'm going to click deploy. We see that the deployment has started. And we see that this virtual machine is under creation. And so that's it. This is going to take a few minutes to run through. But do you see how we're now really combining these clouds? We can manage our private cloud. We can manage our public cloud. We can manage third-party clouds straight through a single interface. So this is one of our big advantages with Microsoft virtualization, simplifying the management experience no matter where your endpoints and your hosters are.
Yeah, and Simon wanted to... He was obviously the application owner, the self-service user who was able to deploy into that cloud that the service provider had given them. But there would also be a tenant administrator associated with that particular cloud that the hoster has given us. So using Service Provider Foundation, the best way to think about it is it allows service providers a way to communicate with a VMM and some bits of infrastructure on their premises, with a VMM and a bit of infrastructure on the customers' premises themselves, and connect the two. And if we go back to the slides, you'll see that here we've got tenant A, and they've got certain self-service users that can do certain things, and tenant administrator, who's obviously going to control the actual cloud that the service provider has provided for them. Simon showed a common experience there, deploying across public and private clouds. And with SP1, we're very soon going to be able to deploy into Azure the regular virtual machines. And it's about start, stopping, scaling virtual machines and services, remote desktop into the virtual machine, across clouds. So I could connect to one of my VMs that's running in the service provider via remote desktop, or I could connect via remote desktop to one of my servers that's running in a private cloud hosted locally in our infrastructure. There's lots of different options, but it's all common now that App Controller has unified the view of the service provider, what they're providing to us in terms of that cloud, what they're providing to us through Azure, and what we've been provided on-premise with our cloud. But remember, App Controller is really aimed at that application owner. And we're able to migrate VMs to Windows Azure as well. Not live, as I said, but we can facilitate that migration from A to B. When we compare that with VMware, things look a little bit different. So the vCloud is all about VMware. It's all about VMware's technologies under the covers, vSphere, vCloud, the vSphere hypervisor, and connecting to other vClouds through the vCloud connector. But now with vCloud Automation Center, VMware have got new options around how they bring in Hyper-V, Xen, and Amazon into that cloud environment. So you do have some different options that are new and evolving and going forward, but it's all about provisioning. vCloud Automation Center and vCloud Connector aren't tools that would allow you to necessarily granularly monitor the entire infrastructure across all three platforms. It's not a solution that allows you to do that comprehensive management and maintenance ongoing across all of that infrastructure, whereas that's where System Center really differs. So whilst you can unify some of the interfaces, they've gone a step in the right direction. But my question is, well, if I'm using vCloud Director as that tool to access self-service and access my apps, and now I need to use VMs on Amazon or Hyper-V, do I then use... Because vCloud Director won't allow me to manage those, so I'll have to go to another interface for vCloud Automation Center, or vice versa. You know, it seems like it's still a little bit which interface is going to win out ultimately. And the investment in Dynamic Ops, who knows what's going to go with that going forward. It's a powerful set of technology and control within that product. But at this stage, I think there's still a little bit of unknown about where the tools all overlap necessarily. But System Center is doing a good job of centralizing all of that management through interfaces like App Controller, monitoring through Ops Manager, and so on.
So let's get on to the scary part now. But before we do that, before we move on to costs, if we could ask you guys, minimize your full screen, answer the final polls that we have. This gives us some great valuable data about the jumpstart, this activity. And now, Matt, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, so let's close up with costs. Now, the thing with cost is it's only ever going to be correct at a point in time, and it's only going to be correct in relation to this particular scenario that we're going through. I chose 500 VMs. It's just a round finger in the air figure, because we think, you know, if you're running 500 VMs, that's the kind of size organization that could probably benefit from the attributes of private cloud.
VMM, data center stuff, where you want to scale up beyond managing just a few
smaller
systems.
Environments, 100 VMs, even less, would benefit from some of the core functionality in VMM. But if you're looking at building private clouds and aggregating fabric resources and the all-encompassing stuff we've talked about today, then chances are you're going to be perhaps a slightly larger mid-market enterprise customer, perhaps. Anyway, adjust your figures as necessary. This is what I chose. 500 VMs in the private cloud. We chose a ratio VMs to host, which was not necessarily conservative, but was optimistic. Because I think a lot of organizations that are embracing hardware now, you could achieve 15-1 easily. Certainly the hypervisors from Microsoft VMware will easily achieve that, much more than that. I think that's just a relatively fair figure to land on. So that's 15 VMs to one host, which, based on 500 VMs divided by 15, is 34 hosts. And these hosts, I've chosen two CPU with 16 cores. It doesn't matter about the cores. It doesn't affect either of the licensing models for Microsoft or VMware from that perspective. So just 34 hosts, each with two processors. Cores largely irrelevant. I've decided to exclude Windows Server licensing, because if you buy VMware vSphere or the vCloud Suite, you don't get any licenses to run Windows Server. You would buy those separately from Microsoft. If you downloaded Hyper-V Server and bought System Center to manage it at scale, Hyper-V Server wouldn't give you any licenses for Windows Server. You'd buy them separately. So that's why I've excluded them. But if you were to buy them, you would need 68 processors of Windows Server Data Center based on that consolidation ratio and that scale. And that equates to 34 hosts with two processors, that's 68 CPUs. Actually, the way Windows Server 2012 is now licensed, it would be 34 licenses, because one license gives you two CPUs. Anyway, but we're looking to achieve private cloud, we need comprehensive management. We need that comprehensive management view of what's going on in the infrastructure. And that includes all of the things we've kind of talked about on both sides of the fence today. So with Hyper-V, that is a monstrous cost. Hyper-V server, maybe I should include bandwidth download costs. I don't know. Two gig to download. It's free. It's a free piece of software. Obviously, the hardware it runs on isn't free. Same for VMware. Obviously, all of the other components that go around it from a fabric perspective aren't free. But the hypervisor itself, we're not paying for. We just pay for System Center management. So you'll see that comes in at around about that figure based on the current retail price on the website. And the link we'll provide below so you can validate that for yourself. But what do we get for that? We get everything we've talked about today and more. Remember, we've just scratched the surface with some stuff. We've ducked and dived within Ops Manager, with Service Manager, VMM, Orchestrator. You'll know as you experience more about these technologies, there's a day's training worth of each in each product. You know, we could spend a week's Academy Live. We'd have cups touching the ceiling. we'd have so much knowledge to share with you about each individual technology that today we just wanted to open your eyes to the kind of things that are possible. But that would provide complete infrastructure management to include app performance management of what's virtualized, as well as performance management for the infrastructure itself, self-service, backup and application protection, ITIL-aligned IT service management, service catalog, orchestration, you name it, what we've covered today, you would get as part of that. When we compare that with VMware, things are a little bit different. So the vCloud Suite Enterprise Edition, which includes all of those different components, the vCloud Automation Center, vCloud Director, it does include SRM as well. So to compete with SRM, we'd be looking at a Hyper-V Replica plus Orchestrator type combination, at least today. So there might be some differences there, subtle differences anyway. But that vCloud Suite is given, from a VMware perspective, a lot of management capability. The whole vCenter Operations Management Suite is within this vCloud Suite. So there's loads of management tools within there. There's vSphere, there's the vSphere Hypervisor, obviously, vCenter, is, I think vCenter is actually extra. Yeah, there it is. So your vCenter isn't actually conveniently included in the vCloud suite. So you'd buy that separately. But you may only need one or a couple of instances. I've just chosen one because it can easily scale to 500 VMs. So you can see the cost plus SNS. So this is even before we add the mandatory SNS subscription, of which a minimum 1 year or more. It's quite a significant jump from the Microsoft solution, and still lacking a couple of areas like ITIL-based service management, granular workload protection, comprehensive in-guest management with that knowledge and that remediation guidance that we can provide within Ops Manager. DevOps capability isn't there. Lab Manager was deprecated. Devs are being encouraged to go to vCloud Director, but that's not necessarily integrated with any of the development environments like Visual Studio, some of the Spring Source development tools that are available as well. It's a bit disconnected. And third-party integration, orchestrator integration packs are limited mainly to vSphere infrastructure. Some of the other components that need to plug in, you need to buy those adapters. So it's considerably more expensive than what Microsoft is offering. But both solutions, both platforms, both vendors are offering a lot of capability in their solutions now. And you could easily make do with either of those. But we hope that what we've talked about today shows you that Microsoft is invested in delivering key capabilities at low cost, but enabling the integration to be in the box so you can get more value from the technology quickly versus fighting with it to get it working together. So, to wrap up, it's been emotional. It's been a long day. We've covered a load of technology. Application management we spent a huge amount of time on because it's new to a lot of people. It's new the way we think the way things will go in the future, how we manage applications. Move away from deploying just VMs. Maybe take time, but moving towards delivering services that include databases as part of them, multi-tiered application services with .NET or virtual applications in there. We talked about heterogeneous management and a foundation for cloud in Hyper-V Server all morning, which was very powerful. And finally, we wrapped up with a quick demo on App Controller and SPF and a view of where we're going to enable organizations who are service providers or want to provide rich multi-tenancy and deliver IaaS, infrastructure as a service, through some of the system center tools and how they integrate with Azure and other public cloud platforms. So we've covered a lot. So I'll wrap up there. I'll hand back to Simon to close out the day.
Thank you so much, Matt. That was a great presentation. I believe we did cover a lot of content, so cheers to that.
Cheers.
And we're going to finally point out a few great resources that you have. First of all is the TechNet Evaluation Center, where you have the ability to go and download the product evals for everything we've covered, from Windows Server 2012, System Center 2012 Service Pack 1, and of course, the free Hyper-V server. Next, we have IT Camps. And so if you kind of like this kind of in-person training where you get some live Q&A, we actually have my counterparts around the world delivering about 1,000 camps this year, which are in-person training events where we have anywhere from 20 to 100 IT pros in the room coming in, learning all about these technologies with a great hands-on experience where we'll actually go and deploy systems for you or give you VHDs, and we'll actually do a lot of hands-on as part of this.
And do the attendees need tent? And sleeping
bag. No tents, no. We keep it easy.
A little fire. The kettle, no.
And finally, of course, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, www.microsoftvirtualacademy.com. On this site, it's a great training resource. Matt mentioned that there's, you know, all of this training that could be possible with the different system center components. Yeah. Guess what? It's on there already. So if you want free online training, check this out. It's also a location where we announce all of our jump starts and where all of our previous jump starts are recorded and posted. So if you want to view this content later, please check back on the Microsoft Virtual Academy in the near future, and you can review all of these great resources. With that, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank our support team here with Barry, Jeff, Frank, and Andrea. We had some great Q&A. And finally, could you please, please, please answer this final poll and tell us how much you loved this event?
And the cups.
And the cups. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.